heard from council that if we changed it to say is not a part of, would pretty much prevent any partitioning of a farm operation, period. If that's the intent of the maker of the motion,
that's probably correct, that they'd have to sell it off.
I would prefer instead that the language not make a contribution.
Madam Chair.
I've got Representative Parkinson and then Representative Bradbury.
Madam Chair, we discussed using the present language, the three words that Mr. Russ mentioned, that using the language commercial agricultural enterprise that's in the rules now and seems to be working.
We have not discussed that other than his suggestion. Representative Bradbury.
I'd just like to speak to the motion. It seems to me that as this stretches out over a little bit longer period of time, 5 years from now, about the only thing we're going to be able to determine with certainty is whether or not a specific parcel was or was not part of a farm operation. That's basically the direction of my motion, is that that's the information we're sure to have. And I guess I don't think that the intent of this act is to be dividing up commercial farms as we've defined them here in this bill. The intent is to find those blocks of land that aren't really in production, I think, as Representative Troop spoke to. There may be a slight inequity to the farmer in this proposal, but I think that given the farm community's strong interest in more protection for exclusive farm use land, that may be the kind of trade-off they have to accept.
Representative Bradbury, your motion was not part of instead of is not a part of.
That's correct. Was not part of.
Representative Van Leeuwen, we need to vote. Two members of Revenue Committee have to leave in a minute.
About three.
I have been hesitating about whether to say anything, but when Representative Bradbury says that this is a slight inequity as far as farmers are concerned, I think out and across the state right now, there are many farmers who are really struggling, many of them financially going under. And I think what we're saying with this bill is if you are a part of a farm operation, even though you have some land over here that is not significantly contributing to your operation, you, because you are a farmer, even though you desperately need that money and to be able to sell off part of it, that you cannot do.
Not through this
well,
bill.
Well, you cannot do it
through this
for the same person, for the same reason, and be classed as a marginal land, like someone, let's say someone in town came out and bought an investment piece of property, and he can get it classed, if we pass this bill, as marginal land that he can build on or do whatever. We are being extremely, not just slightly, inequitable to the farmer.
He can sell that land, Representative Van Leeuwen. He could not get part of his land declared marginal. He could sell it, though. He could sell it.
No question. Yeah, Madam Chair.
Representative Troop.
This has nothing to do with whether a person can sell land or not sell land. It's designation. Can he designate it as marginal lands?
I think her argument would hold true, Representative Troop, as to if he sold it, the person could get it declared marginal under the proposed amendment. And if he kept it, he could not under the proposed amendment.
Which makes a tremendous difference in the value.
Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bradbury?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Was not part of.
Aye.
Just was not.
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Priestley?
No.
Representative Trahern?
No.
Representative Troop?
Aye.
Representative Van Leeuwen?
No.
Chair Hooley?
No. Motion fails. Representative Anderson? One more vote and then you can leave.
I would move we substitute not make a contribution for the words make a significant contribution.
The land did not make a contribution to is the next motion. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I'm a no vote, so I can be gone.
Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative Trahern?
No.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Bradbury?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
Aye.
Representative Parkinson?
No.
Representative Priestley?
No.
Representative Van Leeuwen?
May I ask the word again? Did not make a
contribution.
Did not make a contribution to.
Yes.
Chair Hooley?
Aye.
That's merged.
Motion passes.
We got bipartisan again. How'd that happen?
Well, it only took us an hour and 10 minutes to do that.
To delete one word.
All right.
The land did not make a contribution. We just deleted the word significant.
Which I am, Madam Chair, if we can explain that, I still prefer the significant in the language, and I want that on the record.
Okay, thank you.
We took one word.
This is a lot more restrictive than that.
Took an hour. You preferred it in, but you voted.
30 cents.
Let's go on to some things that the task force worked on this morning, and it's under proposed amendment number one.
Can I revote?
Reconsider, you want to vote aside.
Can we go on to what we worked on this morning? Land may be designated marginal if within a minimum 1/4 mile from the perimeter of the proposed marginal land, either 50 or 60% of the land is composed of lots or parcels 20 acres or less in size. This is to deal with the parcelization test. We have a map up here, and I'm not quite sure who's responsible for the map. I asked some planners to do some work on maps this week to look at the small parcelization test. They were going to look at, looking at a radius or quarter sections or this contiguous. And Gordon, how much work was done on that, and what is this map, and who can explain why this map is here?
That's not ours, Representative Hooley. I think that's for the.
Oh, Allen's?
For the record, Gordon Folt, Association of Oregon Counties. Russ may be able to give you some information on Marion County on your request of last week, but we do have a group planning to make a presentation on Friday, taking into consideration the definition.
Friday is going to be too late, Gordon. We want the bill out of here on Friday if at all possible.
I recognize that. We called over, Russ did, to check and see if that was okay, and there was agreement, but it was. Now, I thought they talked to Beth. Was it you they talked to?
I told Russ that whatever he could get us on Monday, we'd appreciate, and if it was impossible to get anything, then we'd think that's right.
Russ was the only one worked on, that's Washington County's map over there. They can probably explain that to you. We tried to get as many folks as we could.
Let me ask you a question. We're going to do another bill on Wednesday, but is it possible to make that presentation? I don't know how long it'll last on Wednesday.
We would have to call those planning directors and have them move their agenda up by a couple of days, and I don't know if that's possible until we talk to them.
Would you please try that? Okay, go ahead and talk about what you looked at in calculating the parcelization test.
Madam Chair, can I ask you a question?
Sure, Representative Parkinson.
Quarter mile from the perimeter, right? Made a little diagram here. It looks like a 40-acre parcel very often square. Is it 40 acres?
Quite often.
I penciled that out, it'd be about 360 acres. Does that sound about right?
Chairperson Hooley and members of the committee, I took some assessor's maps home after the Friday meeting and worked on them over the weekend, and.
Mr. Nebo?
Yes, I'm sorry, Russ Nebo in Marion County. The marginal lands areas that I have to work with in Marion County are typically larger ownerships, and they're Class 6 soils. And so when I looked at my areas, I found that I was dealing with the criteria that dealt with the non-productive soils rather than the small parcelization.
Okay.
When we talked about it this morning at the committee meeting, it was decided we would try to develop a concept that would be easy to administer so that certain counties that wanted to use a small parcelization concept could. I have a feeling that most counties are going to qualify their marginal lands more on productivity than on parcelization. The wording that you have that Beth's presented to you kind of represents the consensus of the concept that we developed this morning. We have not had a chance to test that against other counties' desires or interests, but it's the best we've been able to do to this point.
Okay. If you took someone that came in or you looked at some marginal lands and you put a pin in the middle of that area and you took a compass and you drew a quarter mile
yes.
around it. Oh, you start from the outside edge of the property, right?
Well, to answer your question, Chairperson, you'd have about 125 acres if you worked off the point in the middle.
Okay.
If you work around the perimeter, then you expand the size to, on a 25-acre parcel I computed, you'd have about 230 acres. Representative Parkinson just worked off a 40-acre parcel and got up to 360. So the size of the area that you involve increases rather quickly the minute you go to the perimeter of the parcel and the size of the parcel. And it's a different way, rather than arguing about 100 or 240 or 320, of relating it to the parcel that you're working with.
So you could have, it could go very small or it could go very large, depending on the acreage of the parcel you're working with.
And if the county was doing it legislatively and wanted to address a large block of land, then the perimeter description allows them to draw a parallel quarter mile all the way around the outside of that and include those in their analysis. So it works both ways.
Okay. Representative Hill.
Wouldn't the, if we use the perimeter one-quarter mile test, it would be a parcel this size would have far more acreage included within that test than a parcel that's more compact. So actually, it's a variable test.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he was just saying that gets you away from the argument whether it should be 100 acres, 1,000 acres, and anything in between.
Are you looking at my chart here? Is that valid there? That's a 20-acre parcel a quarter mile away, I think, but I'm not a farmer.
That's under the current test.
That's under this page one. I just was reading this, a half a quarter mile radius.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hill.
Just giving you a hint. Also, we'd never have, if we followed this formula, we'd never have a case where complete parcels probably were included within that test boundary. You'd have pieces of parcels, and the parcels would extend beyond that boundary. And would we be including, if the boundary touches one of those parcels, we'd include that whole parcel?
Correct.
If the parcel, if only 5 acres is included within the boundary, okay, within a minimum of 1/4 acre. But it's a 70-acre parcel, that would, we'd include it as a 70-acre parcel?
If any portion of a parcel falls within that perimeter, the characteristics of that parcel for the purposes of the formula have to be included.
Okay.
This is a practice, by the way, that we use now in evaluating farm parcel sizes. We use a half a mile in that case to get a bigger study area. But
from the perimeter?
Yeah.
And it works smoothly?
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, I like that a hell of a lot better than the other one, than the first test that we had.
Chairperson Hilliard, if I might just interrupt for a second, I'd like to explain the context under which we at least tentatively looked at this, and that was we came in early this morning looking at two things, one commercial agricultural enterprise test and then also the land class test, and then realizing that there might be some counties that would prefer the parcelization, i.e. I point to Washington County
right.
as being the critical county here. We began to work on it. We have not gone back to check it out. Washington County may be prepared to talk about it as it relates to their map over there.
But most counties, particularly the rural counties, will not even be using this parcelization test in all likelihood. Is that a correct assumption?
I think so, but we're not absolutely sure.
Yeah, because they don't have to use... I'm just saying, I would think it would be more pertinent in those urban counties.
It seemed like that might be the most urban location.
Alan, do you want to show us what you've got on the map?
Let me find first.
Rick Daniels, our planning director.
Okay, Rick.
Rather than being hypothetical about odd-shaped parcels, we brought down a copy of County Comprehensive Plan, which is currently on a continuous order from LCDC. For reference, this is Sunset Highway, Hillsboro, Portland is off. This is Sovie Island here. The area in dark green and this light green are 300,000 acres the county's put into exclusive farm and forest districts. This light green area is, in essence, the valley floor of the Tualatin Valley. In 1973, the county took all the lands which were in part-time farming and due to climatic or soil factors were not the prime areas of the county. And at that time, put all these lands which are colored yellow, or some varying degree of yellow, into an AF5 or 10. 20,000 acres of that had developed. 40,000 acres had not developed. And the county took all the lands which had not developed, which were these light-colored areas here, big chunk of the Chehalem Mountains and what's called David Hill right in here, and put into an AF20 district. And it was intended to keep the parcels from getting below 20 acres, not as rural home sites, because that's what these bright yellow spots were, but instead as small-time farm operations. Because we found the evolution of a lot of farms started with a lot of 20-acre parcels, made profits, then moved on to the valley floor through sales of these parcels. We're looking for our preference on this parcelization test is the 100 acres, because what we will do is we will take the bill, take this over 100 acres or any of these areas, and identify those as potentially marginal lands. We'll put them into an AF20 district, which is very similar to an EFU. And then if somebody wants a marginal land designation on their property, they will be required to come in and satisfy the test. And the 100 acres covered all of these bright yellow, or the light yellow spots in here.
At what, Madam Chair?
Representative Troop.
100 acres at what percentage?
At 50%.
Oh, Rick, what if you did it and looked at this perimeter of a quarter acre?
Well, that brings in a lot of, that would allow us to consider beyond that, and that would necessarily, let's take this David Hill, there's right. A lot of vineyards up in here which are 20-acre commercial farm operations. That would allow a quarter mile all the way around to be used in the computation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if we just use the 100-acre test or a 320-acre test, then we would just use the periphery of those, of this AF20 area. So the acreage test, whether it's 100 or whether it's 320, is preferable to the Washington County situation because it doesn't add in lands beyond the areas we've already designated AF20. So what we're trying to do is we've gone through in a planning process, have identified something that you're trying to create state legislation which would allow, and we're trying to marry these things up, and that's perhaps why Marion County's situation is different, or the other counties are, is that we're trying to find a piece of legislation which will allow us to pursue
Have you tried, Rick, the perimeter test on those lands to see what would happen?
No, we've not. We've tried the acreage test.
Right.
We found it to work.
Would you try the perimeter test?
We could try and do that for Wednesday or whenever you're...
Well, we're trying to... I mean, I understand what you're trying to do, but we also have to deal with all the other counties in the state as well. And for, it seems to me, at least what we've heard from both Gordon and Russ, that the perimeter test is easier to apply than the acreage test.
It may be in Marion County. It's not in Washington County.
But we're looking at all the other counties as well, and I just want to know how easy it is for you to apply the perimeter.
Technically, anything can be done. It's just a matter of how much time is committed, and we already have these boundaries set out, and it would just be the extra test of having to go through and figure a quarter mile beyond. And we already have the statistics gathered for all this land already. Yeah.
Representative Hill.
One more time, the light yellow is the land you've identified for your purposes is 20-acre minimums.
Yeah, the average of...
And using the acreage test, you feel that you would be able to contain them, but using the quarter-mile test, they would expand.
It opens up consideration of other lands. and that is we would take a look at beyond, lands beyond the perimeter of this for computation of the actual lot size.
But you would still have to meet the income test.
That's right.
On the parcelization, so
that's
you've
right.
got the double test on those.
Right, and I already know that the average parcel size in all these light yellow areas are 20.3 acres.
Right.
That work's already been done.
So you know they're going to meet the parcelization test. The next, it really doesn't open it if they're producing 20,000 or more a year.
No, you're right.
So it's a double test.
And then we would do the first test of that, and that is show these areas as potential marginal lands areas. And then if somebody wanted, for example, to get a building permit in this area, they would have to come in and show within a block of land around them, whether we use the perimeter or whether we use the other, that they were, that all lands in there, 50% of those didn't earn more than $20,000.
Right. Madam Chair, question.
So that second test, part of the test, we're leaving up to the individual.
Right. Representative Parkinson.
Presently, the light yellow areas, can they get a building permit?
We had proposed a district which did have a building permit by right on all lots of record plus lot parcelization down to 20 acres in size. That has been rejected by LCDC and the lot of record provision. They have agreed with the 20 acres in this area, but they have not agreed with the lot of record provision. If the marginal lands bill is passed in its current form, it would take care of those.
Representative Trahan and then Representative
Hill. When did you say you set up these light yellow areas?
Initially, these areas were designated AF 5 and 10 in 1973 before LCDC was created.
So those were basically designated in 1973 or thereabouts?
Right. And then what we did was took those AF 5 and 10 lands and put them into AF 20, downzoned them by a quarter to a half.
Maybe follow my question.
Yes.
Do you think it would be reasonable to ask somebody to tell whether those parcels in that area, in your immediate area, would meet this income test from the period 1973 back to 1968 today? Because that's what we're going to be doing with this income test 10 years down the road.
Yeah, you're right. It's very difficult to do. That's why we would do it one shot legislatively, say those areas are eligible.
But you're saying that 10 years down the road, somebody comes in and says, I want to do something here now. If they're going to have to provide the income information, certainly you guys don't have it, yeah. And so we're going to be asking them to go back 10 years to wherever they found those owners that are there today.
But I think what Rick was saying, that you could, legislatively, Washington County could immediately say these areas are eligible for marginal land tests.
Right, and we, in our notice, because we'll have to notify everybody individually, we will say that there's that eligibility and that opportunity there. And I guess we could encourage them either to come in now or there.
So maybe, a
yeah. It gets more difficult time.
I have to
Rick, under this test, you would also, if this bill passes, not only would all of those be able to put a house on it, but if you also opened the lot of record up in all of those, you would have additional opening for residential or for dwellings.
That's correct. Right now, the county ordinance had all lots of records in there. You got a building permit. LCDC has said that's not consistent with goals. They've said go back and redo it or make it a conditional use permit or whatever.
But you would have that under the bill. They could get it through the lot size as well as lot of record, as
right.
well as if the exception process passes, the exception process.
Right.
Okay.
So the way the bill's drafted, and that's why we may have made this thing too complicated, is that the county has a district which is AF20, building permit by right on all lots, and a building permit on any new lots over 20 acres. That's pretty straightforward, and now what we've done is set four or five different standard criteria in the state legislation, which may be even complicated, but more than a straightforward yes or no.
You mean by opening up the lot of record in that area?
No, I mean by over 20,000 or under 20,000 income, over 10,000 income. All of the tests, there are about five different tests now in order to get a building permit on a piece of property in the rural area. And I just leave it there.
Madam Chairman, let me expand on a point that I think relates to all the counties, and a point I think I've heard mentioned from AOC and the county planning directors.
Sir, please identify.
Alan Bachman from Washington County Council's office. And that is, as Mr. Daniels is indicating, and we realized this more as we were detailing it out last week, is that it's pretty difficult on a legislative basis, especially when you have like 44,000 acres you're trying to sort through, to determine all the particular requirements of the test on a legislative basis, which parcels did or did not meet the income test and whatnot. Therefore, it's going to be necessary to probably identify areas that could potentially meet those requirements. And from an economic standpoint, the counties are going to need to look at it on a quasi-judicial basis. As somebody comes in, pays a fee, and then you can more closely look at that particular parcel and the area around it, is the way it works. And I think, as Mr. Daniels explained, that creates a necessity for allowing that type of format to take place, where a county doesn't have to all at once in a legislative process identify every single parcel that qualifies or does not. I hope I'm making myself clear on that point.
Yes.
Thank you.
Jack, who's been sitting here, has a little amendment. Do you want to come up? He's only been waiting an hour and a half. It's real short and simple. It's not at all what we're talking about, but...
Well, I appreciate
that. It'll be in the bill somewhere.
I am Jack Kalinowski with the Associated General Contractors. Madam Chair, I'd like to direct the committee's attention to page 4 of the bill. I know this is a giant step forward.
We're only on page 2, right?
I
don't.
Yes.
It's moving a little rapidly.
Your committee assistant is passing out an amendment that I'm suggesting.
I can't find a bill. Okay.
If you look down at lines 30, 31, and 32 on page 4, this has the effect of saying, in the existing statutes, by the way, that certain uses may be established. And this bill says, if the use meets reasonable standards adopted by the governing body, for the mining and processing of aggregates. The problem is the definition of the word processing. And what we're suggesting is an amendment to give the governing body some latitude in determining just what that word really means. Our amendment would say the processing may include the blending of the resource with other materials to produce a product in which the resource is an integral part. If this amendment is adopted, at least in presenting it, it's our intention to say that a governing body, such as a county commission, may say, all right, rock may be mined from these lands, whatever they are, but they cannot be stockpiled. They'd have to be transported someplace else to be stockpiled. Or they may be mined and stockpiled, and the rock may be crushed. Or they might go on to say that the rock may be mined, stockpiled, crushed, and blended with liquid asphalt to produce asphalt concrete. Or maybe to produce Portland cement concrete, blending it with other products. But in other words, to say that these options are available to the governing body for any or all of them.
So you're really talking about a gravel operation in most cases here.
That's the only real thing that I'm concerned about on behalf of the people that I represent. They may say, you know, the County Planning Commission may say, well, we don't want to have an asphalt batch plant there, but we will allow the rock to be taken out, crushed, and stockpiled. But at least identify to that extent the variables that are available to the governing body.
Representative Priestley?
He's not here, but I am.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Bradbury!
Thank you. This would be an amendment to existing law in terms of what is allowed in an exclusive farm use zone?
Yes. right now what's on page 4, the line he wants to add or clarify.
Listen, excuse me, Madam Chair. The Representative Bradbury, if you look at lines 15, 16, and 17, I don't see much substantive change in the wording that is being suggested in lieu of wording in the existing statutes. Maybe somebody else would see it a little differently. And that's why I phrased that in the way that I phrased it.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hill?
With this, the term in line 16, reasonable standards, which is replacing the approval of the governing body, must designate, does that change the burden of proof as to what's reasonable or not? It sounds like a language that's fairly general rather than specific.
Representative Hill, I'm not I'm not really a proponent of this measure. I don't know what that's intended to mean.
Okay.
I would not interpret it that way. I would think it would be